Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, his disciples asked him about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, after sevens, it is good. This is the first time God says something is not good. He said it is not good for the Adam, the human being. It's not good for humans to be alone. Genesis 1 reveals that humanity is made in the image of God, and Christian theology explains that God's a trinity of persons, so that God's relational. So you and I are created to be in relationship with others, which is why human children take a really long time to get on their own. We were created from the beginning for that kind of relationship. Salvation, whatever you may hear from your neighbors, is not a private individual thing. Salvation is personal, but it is also communal. We are saved as part of the church. Therefore, marriage is the model for understanding salvation. In the ancient text of the Bible, we hear that the Jewish people are the spouse of God. And in the Christian New Testament, we are told that the church is the bride of Christ. That union, the two becoming one, is what is meant by the words theosis. And if you know anything about marriage, it requires that you die to yourself for that union to occur and take place. Reflecting on the rule of St. Benedict, because I want to take this marriage theology out of marriage. I know how literal everybody is. So there's people like saying, "Well, I'm not divorced. This has nothing to do with me." I mean, it's the marriage theology, the point of what Jesus is talking about, the symbolic depth of meaning includes the church. It includes all our relationships. St. Benedict in his rule identified four types of Christian. Two of them he would call malfunctioning Christians. The first are those who have no shepherd. Their only law is the pleasure of their desires, and whatever they wish or choose, they call holy, and they consider whatever they dislike unlawful. I'm coming back to that. The second are the restless. Restless are Christians driven by their own wills and appetites who move from place to place in search of some place that's going to confirm or affirm what they want. Both of these in our culture are considered values. A person who's driven by their own decision-making, who makes their decisions based on who I am, and that who I am is the center of every decision. People who don't submit to authority. People who refuse to do what they're told to do. That's the American dream. And so both of these, especially in church, are problematic. We call it church hopping in one case. And the other is church splitting, where every church just splits into their own group. And now, of course, we know right now, because we've been told by people, they don't go to church because because they feel closer to God in the woods. Remember them? Right now, these woods, there's tens of thousands of people out there in the woods with God, right? No, because as St. Benedict points out, this is a malfunctioning Christianity. We know from the book of Genesis, it is not good for the man to be alone. It's not good for humans to be alone. And we know from the social sciences that today we live in the loneliest, most isolated time, that people do feel alone. And we know part of what drives it is our egos and passions, which keep us from forming bonds. The marital bond is about dying to yourself. I actually heard this. I was listening to something else, and now he just said, the purpose of marriage is not to make you happy. Right? Some of you are now saying, oh, okay, well, I guess it's... looks like it's working there. Because what's the purpose of marriage? Two people to empty themselves and then have kids. And that always turns out well. Right? You die to yourself. You get up when you don't want to get up. You do things you don't want to do because that's what love entails. And I am happy to report that the divorce rate has dropped quite a bit in recent decades. Unfortunately, the cause is people didn't get married anymore. So, I mean, if you don't want to die of COVID, have a car wreck, okay? Right? It's kind of that sort of good news. But the reality is that these declines in marriage and births have gone hand in hand with the decline in Christianity in the West. That literally, the Western world is not replacing itself. The birth rates. And it's literally disappearing. So like in a couple hundred years, the history books are going to say, once upon a time there was this culture that turned from Christ. And they are no more. So this is part of the whole salvation thing as well. The post-Christian world is one that says what I want, what desires I have, and my opinions are first and foremost. And don't kid yourself, that infects all of us, and it affects the church. The reality of human growth and development is it passes through stages, and each stage presupposes the one before it, and it takes a terribly long time to negotiate the whole process. And those who don't do well in social work, a lot of our kids didn't do well the first 3 years. And that means that the rest of the ride was, they're incapable of driving, incapable of making relationships. And a lot of things that we call social maladies are actually people who missed the stage. And so the reality is we cannot be uprooted over and over again and start over and over again. The serial marriage thing, you never get past a certain stage. You never get past a certain stage. And we're debilitated. And I want to make this clear. I've walked through a lot of divorces, a lot of people, and I'm an advocate of marriage. I really am. I tell people it's a last resort. But a lot of people have gone through it, and I've been there with them the whole time. And I'm here to tell you, none of them ever said, wow, this is terrific. The most miserable marriages still broke their hearts when they ended. And so this is not about Jesus is mad at you or I'm trying to bring guilt down on you. This is about what happens in reality. And the reality is we're heading into the season where for a lot of us, it's not a great time because broken families. Like Christmas and Thanksgiving become problematic when there's like five different families to visit because of all this stuff going on. And the leading abuser of children is step-parents. So it's a dangerous thing for kids. I mean, it's, what Jesus is talking about, what he says is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And so what I tell people who are in second marriages, I say, I'm going to ask you one question before we start. If during the ceremony I said, do you take this person to be your spouse, and you say the vows, and I start laughing, how would you feel? They said, well, I'd be irritated. I said, right, you want me to take it seriously, right? So here's the problem. If we're doing that, then we can't, as a church, which people demand the church do, just say, well, that didn't matter. And in many cases, there's a person left behind who's been maltreated and abused. So I want to make clear, stability and fidelity are vital for human thriving, especially for small humans. And what Jesus is saying is, this is God's intent. And it's pretty controversial today. It's very controversial. God made us as a man and a woman, and we're supposed to get married and have children. And that's controversial every step of the way today. Every step of the way. And it's increasingly going to be more difficult to say that in public, as it is in other places, including Canada. So that's what we're confronted with today. But I do want to make one thing clear. Today's gospel is not about marriage. And it's not about divorce. It's about politics. Right? Now, this is something I just came to, and I had one of our parishioners is a minister, said, I wish I had known this earlier. I said, I do too. All right. The Pharisees came to test Jesus, right? Did you hear the word test? So last time they tried to test him, they said, is it lawful to pay taxes? And that wasn't because it was a government class. It was because if he said no, the Romans would kill him. And I never have understood. I've always said there's something wacko about Mark 10, because Jesus is talking about he's going to die, pick up your cross, follow me, you're going to die, I'm going to die. And he's going through all this stuff. And all of a sudden he stops, and now we're talking about marriage? It doesn't make any sense. And the reason it doesn't make any sense is because I misread it. The reason he was asked that question, is it lawful for a person to divorce and remarry, is because of the John the Baptist situation. John the Baptist was killed by Herod for saying, it's unlawful for you to marry your brother's wife. And apparently, Mrs. Herod took that pretty hard and told her daughter, we want his head. That's what this is about. This is about people coming to Jesus and asking, is it lawful to divorce? Because in the ancient world, you didn't get divorced. Actually, people didn't get divorced very often 150 years ago, if you look at the rate. It's because women couldn't live on their own, and most marriages ended fairly quickly because people didn't live very long. It wasn't an option. It's really not an option in the third world, poor kind of environment. The only person who could really do this is the rich, the powerful, the people in charge. And so that changes the whole thing now, because the dynamic here is what they're talking about is trying to get Jesus killed, which brings us then to the true meaning of what does it mean to accept the kingdom as a child of God. Children had zero status in the ancient world. In the Roman world, after a woman gave birth, they brought the baby to the father, and the father looked at it and decided whether or not they're going to keep it. It's like a fish. I mean, seriously, it's like, well, toss that one out. And they would throw the baby in the backyard. Your existence was solely dependent on the whims of the father. And what Jesus is saying is, you're entering the kingdom of God is not on your own two feet standing up with your hands on your hips. It's in submission to the Father. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. You're my Father. I am nothing. You are everything. And that was the ancient world understanding. So, now I've said the way human beings develop, you can't just start over again, over and over and over again. You kind of have to stick through some stuff. But here's the reality. And this is actually true in my own front yard. We had this plant that we moved, and it was a stick. And I just went out every day and poured water on it. And now it's a big bush. And sometimes, by the grace of God and the power of redemption, we can start over again. And there can be life. So there is hope. There's hope in this life, and there's hope in the life to come. Amen. So if we have hope, let us stand and profess.